I can't tell you how thankful I am to be here. I appreciate your pastor, his dear wife. Brother Tom and I have been friends a long time. And I'd like to say, I'm going to say it now. You know, a lot of times people will say something to you, like, you know, greet you or something, and you always say, okay, I will. Well, now I talked to Brother Carl this morning coming down here, and he told me, he said, you tell the saints. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to look at verses 4 to 9. For a few minutes, we're exhorted. Brother Tom just read this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in everything. Everything. Give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know, we know that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And therefore, whatever comes our way, it is for our good and it's for His glory. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do that. I do, Tom. I do. I want to be thankful. I thank God that I'm with you tonight. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord's given us a heart to be here. Thursday night. Who goes to church on Thursday night? Those that God's given a heart to want to go. I'm just glad we're here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. This is where He put us tonight. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church that the Lord raised up in the city of Corinth. And as we have looked, and I won't go into the history of Corinth, but to say that there were a lot of trouble, a lot of baggage. But here's the thing that's amazing to me. When Paul wrote to them and expressed His thankfulness for them. He says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I thank, and I know that he thanked the Lord. He did, he thanked the Lord. But you notice what he said. I thank my God. The Lord's promise to His people in Ezekiel 36:28 said this, ye shall be my people and I will be your God. And God's people, they call upon Him, my Lord. That's what Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Lord, you revealed yourself to me. Lord, you love me with an everlasting love. You chose me in Christ. You adopted me. My God. And that for which the Apostle Paul always, that's what he said, I thank my God always. I read what Brother Henry said on that right there. He said, every time I think about you, And isn't that the truth? Every time I think about you. By the grace of God, every day, the Lord brings this congregation to my heart. Every day. Every day. Lifting up. I thank God for you. I thank God always. Thanking the Lord for the grace, the favor, the benefit, the loving kindness which is given you by Christ Jesus. Now, I thank the Lord for His grace that He's given you. Consider for a moment, and I know we want to enter into this, but I'll admit it. I know it, but I wish I knew it as I ought. That Almighty God would, in verse, He says it in verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Set apart, chosen in Him. Now just for a moment, that Almighty God would be pleased for no cause in any of us to choose to show mercy and said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth. God that shows mercy. Elected. Adopted. In the Beloved. Chosen according to His good purpose because it pleased Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by blood, called us out of spiritual darkness, taught us the gospel. The Scripture sets forth the grace of God which was given you. I'm telling you, there's no merit in anybody here. There's no power, no ability. It came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave us faith to believe. The blessed, glorious Mediator. The Angel of the Covenant. Boy, these are precious titles. And we love to just refer to Him. Call on Him. Bless Him. His holy name. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by Him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, that God, according to His grace and mercy given us in Christ Jesus, has abundantly, plentifully provided for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, given us the utterance of the gospel. Now we're here in a town that by and large cares nothing for the glorious gospel of God's free grace. But that the Lord would give us the utterance, the hearing of the gospel. And then not only to give us the gospel, to teach us the gospel, the knowledge of the gospel, and give you an understanding of the gospel. Comprehending and understanding from the heart the truth that you've heard. And would keep you. Grant you faith to believe. He says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, that word confirmed. I truly desire that the Lord would confirm me in the gospel. Let me tell you what that word means. shown to have been made sure. Shown to have been made sure. Now, a lot of people heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak. But there were not many that were confirmed to be in Him. Many of the Pharisees heard Him. How long are you going to make us to doubt? They said. If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. I told you. And you believe not. Mm-hmm. You know why? You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And they're never going to perish. Now, if there's anything that I truly desire, I want to be confirmed in the Lord. I want to be shown to be established. That's what he's talking about. To be established, set to be firm. You know, I thought about this. As I was coming down here, I was not looking at my notes, but I was sitting here preaching this message over and over and over again. And I got to thinking about this being confirmed. I got over Brother Tom and Bridget's house, and I told him, I said, I just need to go sit down for just a few minutes. And Tom said, go out here on the back porch. No, he said, I'll just let you stay back here. And so I wanted to go down and just sit down and just think on this being confirmed. To be shown to be so. To be proven. And I jotted down some things here. What is the evidence of being confirmed? I know what the word means. Proven to be so. I know, based on the Scriptures, that there's going to come a time when we're all going to stand before God. Now, I know that. The books are going to be open. And the book is going to be open. And I know for a fact that every person outside of Christ, the books of their works are going to be open, and they're going to be judged out of those books. And I know that. I know that. And I thought to myself, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I need some help. I want to know. What is it? What is the evidence of being confirmed? That's what Paul's saying. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What is that evidence? Now, I jotted down these Scriptures. Matthew 10:22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But now you listen to what the Lord says. These next words. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Many appear for a while to believe. Turn with me. Hold your place. Turn with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13:3. The Lord gave a parable. He preached in parables. And the disciples asked Him one day. They said, Lord, why do you preach in parables? Remember what He said? Because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom. But unto them it's not given. The Lord gave a parable. Matthew 13:3. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now, here's the thing. There was two groups. One of them, first one by the wayside, the birds came and just ate them. There's no evidence. But there was one that was sown, and it said in verse 5, it fell among stony places where there had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. But when the sun was come out, it was scorched and it withered. But there was another group, these thorny ground hearers, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The cares of this world choked them out. They probably were still there. They probably were there. But they were choked out. The Word was sitting under the gospel. But the cares of this world. But one of the greatest revelations to me of this being confirmed. What is it about being confirmed? I know that he that endureth to the end. Turn with me to Genesis 32. I love this passage of Scripture. Genesis 32. It was a man named Jacob. And the Scripture says that Jacob, verse 24, Genesis 32, 24, was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Here was a man named Jacob, and Almighty God wrestled with him. And the man, the Lord Himself, said to Jacob, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I can't. I can't. Now, unless you bless me. What's your name?" "I'm a huckster. I'm a cheat. I'm a liar. I'm a theft. My name is Jacob." He said, "Not anymore. Not anymore. Your name is Israel. A prince with God. You've prevailed." You know why Jacob held on? Because the Lord wouldn't let him go. He was confirmed. He was confirmed. "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." How many of them is going to endure to the end? All that the Lord endures to the end. Isn't that what 1 Peter says? 1 Peter 1:5. That's what it says. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." If there's ever a passage of Scripture for which I can truthfully say, "Lord, thank you," because I have just enough, not much, but just enough sense to know I won't stay. I will not stay. Just got through going through the book of John. And I've read this before, and I know it's so, but it was just made to be real again, Tom. The Lord was risen from the dead. He had already met with the disciples twice after He was raised from the dead. First time He met with them, Thomas wasn't there. Next time He met with them, Thomas was there. And then after that, the Scripture says there, the disciples are talking, not all of them. And Peter says, "I go a-fishing. And I looked this word up to make sure I knew for sure this is what I knew. I knew what I'd heard he'd said. So I looked up that word. He said, I go a fishing. Look this up. You remember when that group was following him in John 6? And the Lord told him, he said, no man can come unto me except it be given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many of them have followed him no more. They left. And the Lord turned to his disciples, and this is what he asked him. Asked them, will you go away also? That word go is the same word go that Peter used. He said, I go a fishing. He wasn't going out for an afternoon of enjoyment. He quit. He said, I'm leaving. I'm going back to what I did before. And you know what the other disciples said? We go with you. We're going to associate ourselves with you. And they fished all night. And they caught nothing. And the next morning, by the grace of God, Almighty God who confirmed them, who kept them. And the only difference between them and that group that left in John 6 was the grace of God. And he said, children, have you any meat? I said, no. He said, cast on the right side, and there you'll find. And John, the Scripture said, told Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter jumped in, grabbed his fish's coat and jumped in. I looked at all the conversation that took place from the time he jumped in until he had his conversation with Peter. And the Lord did all the talking. The disciples said nothing. Not a word. And the first word of our Lord to Peter was, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. 3 times. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Kept by the power of God. Even, verse 6, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And then he says in verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church there in Corinth was greatly blessed of the Lord. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, it gave the gifts that was found there, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Lord's blessing was upon that people. And Paul thanked the Lord for them. Thank God for God's grace. But this is the precious thing that they were doing. While in verse 7, Paul told them, you come behind in no gift. Here's what they were doing. Waiting for the coming, for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, I'm convinced, this is what we're doing here tonight. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We're here this midweek service. You met together last Sunday. Wednesday before that, you met together. Sunday before that. And the Lord has graciously allowed the gospel, the candlestick of God's testimony, the testimony of Christ, to be in Pikeville, Kentucky. Now here's what you're doing. You're faithfully supporting the gospel. You got a pastor that loves you, that preaches the truth for you. Somebody said, well, what are y'all doing? Y'all just meet, you know, week in, week out, week in, week out. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for Him. And so great is the glory that is connected with the return of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul declared, I fought a good fight. You know, you think about that. That wasn't an arrogant statement on Paul's part. He knew. I'm here. I am what I am by the grace of God. But this fight, this battle, is a good fight. A fight of faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Very soon. It amazes me how quickly time passes. I've heard this for years. You know, the older you get, the quicker time flies. And I used to always say, yeah, I know it. I know it. I mean, it does. I was telling Tom and Bridget a while ago. I just not too long ago went to Fairmont. Just not too long ago. I was thinking it's 14 years. And I thought, 14 years? It just like, where did the time go? Where is it? Here, waiting for the return of our Lord. All that live in the expectation of the coming of Christ are God's people who anticipate it with joyfulness. We're going to see Him as He is. Now that's an amazing thought. Be like Him. Anticipating His appearing. And while the Lord's people are found to be waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit declares it again in verse 8. Who shall also confirm you? Listen to this. Unto the end. That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who also shall make you firm and steadfast and constant in soul. Turn to John 10:27. John 10:27-29. John 10:27-29. I just quoted this, talking about who shall confirm you unto the end. What a promise. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He shall confirm you, make you to be established unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the apostle declares that the Lord of heaven shall never, never leave His own, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Scott used to say this, wherever the Lord puts a man, a woman, that's where He keeps them. That's where they're going to stay, right there. Isn't that comforting? His love never fails. The Lord said, I will keep you. You shall not be moved, removed from the hope of the gospel. God's people, kept by God, confirmed in the faith, and shall be found blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not blameless in themselves. You notice how it was stated? They shall be confirmed in Christ Jesus alone. He alone saves His people. Salvation's of the Lord. When the Lord was praying His high priestly prayer, John 17:11, He prayed, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep, guard, reserve, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me have I kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, but that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And then, last verse, back in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is trustworthy. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, I was living in central Louisiana. And we lived out in the country. And I'd been working, you know, doing little odd jobs and chores and saving my money. And it was just burning a hole in my pocket. And I wanted to go to the store. My dad he was a bread man. He drove a bread truck. And he'd get up 2 o'clock every morning and go to work every day. 2 o'clock. And I asked him the night before, I said, Dad, I said, I want to go to Merritt's store tomorrow. He said, I'll pick you up after I get off. He said, I'll be home. And I said, okay. Well, for some reason, he wasn't there when I thought that he was supposed to be there. You know, probably to me, you know, 5 minutes later than what he's normally there is eternity. You know, so I started walking. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In central Louisiana, I don't know how it is where everybody's from here, but in central Louisiana, on an asphalt road in August. Yeah. And buddy, I'm telling you, I can remember about where I was. The little store was about 5 miles away. And I can tell you, I probably made it about a mile, mile and a half. And man, I'm telling you, I was just sweating. And I can remember the road, you know, and I mean way over there, I saw that bread truck come over. And I lost it. And here comes over. And it came over that last one. And he's come up to me and he stopped. And I opened the door and he told me, he said, I told you I'd come home and get you. And I was glad to get in that truck, you know. And I said, yes, sir. I could trust my dad, but I'm going to tell you this. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. The Apostle Paul had just said, who shall also confirm you unto the end? In the midst of all of my struggle and my doubts and my fears, when I find myself, Lord, I do believe You. Help Thou mine unbelief. Lord, keep me. Lord, help me. When I find myself having to admit, Lord, when I try to pray, I wonder, my mind just, I'm thinking, Lord, if You dealt with me on the basis of this attempt at praying, If you dealt with me on the merit of that prayer, Lord, confirm me unto the end. Lord, keep me. Lord, establish me. God is faithful, by whom you were called. The Lord's promises are to His people that He has called, effectually called, by grace. Those that He's everlastingly loved and called out of spiritual darkness. Vessels of mercy. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, what is the fellowship? Fellowship. What is the basis? This was a question I started asking myself. Into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the basis of fellowship? I believe it's this. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, what's going to have to happen for me to have fellowship with the Lord? God's going to give me a heart that agrees with Him. All of the agreeing is going to have to come over to His side. I'm going to have to go to Him and agree with Him. Until the Lord called me out of darkness, do you think I truly believed that every thought of the imagination of me, my old man, was evil continually? I didn't believe that. But you know what? Lord, as you say I am, I am. When Almighty God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you know what this guy says right here now? Lord, all have sinned and come short of your glory. When He tells me, I have loved you with an everlasting love, I said, Lord, that's the only reason I love you now, is because you love me first. Lord, I agree with you. Has called you unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Called into a state of friendship and union with God in Christ, totally being found in Him. The very heart of our eternal security in the haven Himself. The life of God's people and the manifestation of that life is totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. Called by whom you were called into the fellowship. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The Lord confirms His work in His people. That's what this message is all about. He's going to confirm His people. He calls His own out of spiritual darkness through the preaching of the gospel. He gives them faith to believe. All men have not faith. They love one another by a new heart, imparted by the Spirit of God. And He keeps them by His power through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Lord, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and for my eternal good, for the eternal good of Your people, confirm us unto the end. Lord, keep us to the end, for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.